Welcome along, day two at Aintree on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We've got Rory De Largy again. We got Ruby Walsh in transit to Aintree. He's literally on the train on his way to Liverpool, so this should be interesting. Rory, how are you? First, I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to ask Ruby.
I'm all right. I'm staying at the Ruby Lucy Hotel.
Oh,
no connection, I'm sure, but you know, revenue streams and all that.
Lucy Ruby, Ruby Lucy. Ruby Lucy. Right. Okay.
As was the nice Ruby Murray Hotel, which would be, you know, an Indian restaurant.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, come on. Ruby, go on, unmute yourself. I want one answer. Have you stayed at your own hotel?
I have not, but listen to how much I got as the two of you. You're getting very little of me.
Okay, right. Okay, no more fun and chat with Ruby Walsh. You could barely hear us, and we could barely hear him. We're going to get through Friday's card, though. Before we get cracking, just a few bits from producer Mark. He wanted me to update you. Check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Loads of goodies on that, particularly the Shark Power episode. And this is the episode of the Gold Cup. And if you haven't seen the Gold Cup by now, well, it was a pretty dramatic finish. So if you haven't managed to see that yet, it is an absolute cracker. We will also be recording another Punters panel show for Punchestown, which isn't too far away. If you want a question, email fthm@paddypower.com. We'll pick it up from there. And if you want free tickets to Punchestown, yes, you do. Of course you do. Simply quote tweet any tweet about this show, write your own, include hashtag FTHM, and you'll be in the hat. The Grand National Quiz Show, which I saw a bit of, is very good. That's available. That'll be on Racing TV this week, Virgin Media Ireland on Thursday, if you haven't got to Thursday night by this stage, and on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. News.paddypower.com, loads of tips for the National, including a brilliant Where Did My Horse Finish piece, which you'll obviously get after the Grand National. And keep your eyes peeled for a special pick five this Saturday, free to play. All you'll have to do is pick the first five home in the National. It's free to play, though, folks. It's free to play. So it's a free shot at it. It's going to be Ruby's laughing away. He's like, how the hell are you supposed to get the first five? It's a free shot. Doesn't matter if it's tough. Free shot, Ruby. At quite a lot of money. Anyway, right. We're going to kick on because we've got a lot of racing to cover. Day two of Aintree. We're recording on Wednesday, so we don't know what's happened on the first day. We're going to kick off with the first of the grade ones. It is the 3 mile novice chase, which is kind of their version of the Brown Advisory. And actually don't have prices yet, but I'm pretty confident Jerry Kalam's going to be favourite. Bron will probably be second favourite. It's going to be potentially between those two. Rory, I'm going to go to you first. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Complete Unknown did well against lesser company at Kempton last time out. And he's been very well placed by Paul Nichols. But up to grade one company is a question. And Gallia de Lito, she's shown... she's shown once what she can do, and that was when dominating a small field. I suppose if she's able to do that, she might cause a surprise. But I think the top two should be the pair to concentrate on. The overall market looks like it's going to be about even money, Jerry Kalam, or thereabouts. Either you know, I take either side of even money, and around 3 to 1, 100 to 30 on Braun. I did a preview last night where nobody liked Jerry Kalam, and I was very surprised by that. I think he looks a really solid bet. He very nearly won at Cheltenham. I think that was a better race than I was given credit for. Obviously, Braun ran very well in that contest as well. You could argue that you could mark Braun up because he did plenty on the front end. I thought Jerry Kalam just got a little bit outpaced coming down the hill on the old course and then picked up really well after the last under Jordan Gainford. I think this track will suit him better. A few people were of the opinion that it's a sharp track entry. It won't suit him. It's not really a sharp track, is it, for chasers? You get a big long straight there. The turns are tight enough, but it's the length of the straight that really counts. He doesn't want to be given too much to do. He's not a horse who really has a particular turn of foot. He was just staying on powerfully at Cheltenham rather than quickening up. If he could quicken, he'd have quickened a fence or two earlier. But he's a really likable horse. He's a sound jumper. He's a strong galloper. The extra distance here will play to his strengths as well. I think he gets back on track here with a win.
Lovely. Okay, Jerry Kalam. All right, Ruby, unmute yourself. Put the beer down. And first class. In first class again then, Ruby?
I am, PK. I thought the Wi-Fi would be better, but I'm not sure it is. What do I think? I think I'm going to go differently to Rory. I think Jerry Kalam has had the 4 runs this season. Bron has only had the 3. I think he could be the fresher horse coming here. I just think he can turn the form. I mean, I know they've met twice. Jerry Kalam has won both times, but I think Bron could be the fresher horse here, and that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, it's lovely. Short, sharp, and to the point from Ruby Walsh today, and that could be the theme of the pod for this Friday's racing. Move on to race number 2, the 220. This is the big handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. again, to go with the Cheltenham references, kind of like the Carroll Cup. And a few of these will have run in the Carroll Cup. Campron, the 11-2 favourite. No Ordinary Joe for Nicky Henderson, also for JP, 15-2. Dara Giannini for Harry Derham is 9-1, as is Buddy One. That's the best of the Irish going to the betting. Then you've got Captain Combi for Dusty Sheehy at 11-1, as is Jungle Jack and Playful Saint. All right, Rory, I'll go back to you. No doubt there'll be extra places in this, a hatful of places in this race. Where are we looking?
This is wide open. You can make a case for plenty. Campron's the obvious starting point. He really should have won the Coral Cup. Held on to it for a little longer, he would have. He's gone up for that, though. I think he's gone up, is it £5 for getting beaten there. Not beaten very far. And you watch that race and you're pretty sure that under different circumstances he would have won it. He travelled best, and he's got an opportunity of setting the record straight here. But, you know, I thought that... Captain Conby travelled very well that day and didn't quite get home, didn't quite get up the hill on soft ground. He handles the soft ground well enough, but he just seemed to have his stamina stretched there. So I could see him bouncing back as well. But you dig into this, you can make a case for at least a dozen horses. And the betting kind of tells you that as well. You know, you're looking at a dozen horses at 20-1 or shorter, maybe even more than that. I would be inclined to hold fire until I find out what the going is going to be like, because there are still contrasting opinions about the going there. There's plenty of rain at Aintree early in the week. There's been rain today. There's rain due tomorrow. It could turn very soft, but from what the course is saying and what they're saying the going is like at the moment, it might not. So I'd want to know. Listen, if it gets very soft, I'm going to have a small play on Jason the Militant. He's 66-1 in a place. I wouldn't back him unless it was softer, deeper. He was out of his depth in the champion hurdle, and they didn't burst him by trying to go from the front, which is the normal tactics. You've got to bear in mind that he was favourite for the Aintree hurdle a couple of years ago. He sent off 7-2 for that and fell when in front. And he's, you know, clearly he's had an issue or two since, but he's still shown, it's not that long ago, he was showing very smart form in the flat. And I thought he shaped well for a long way. First time out for his new yard at Cheltenham in January. I had a chat with one or two people who have a connection to that yard, and they said, yes, the trainer thought he was only about 80% fit. He was delighted with the run. The champion hurdle was, you know, was clearly going to be a step too far, but we're looking at a reasonably new owner. Having a runner on the champion hurdle was a big deal. They looked after him that day. You wouldn't swear from that performance that he retained all his ability, but I thought he showed enough first time out to think that there is plenty of dash still there. He's dropped in the weights to a mark of 146 now, and so Joe Williamson claims 5 off his back. He's very much an all-or. He's not necessarily the kind of horse you think, oh, well, they're paying 7 places, this would be value. I think he's kind of an all-or-nothing bet here, but you're liable to get at least 50-1. I think he's 50 to Paddy Power at the moment. He's the rank outsider. You would expect him to do an even bigger price. You might get 100-1 on the day. But the more it rains, the more it'll play into his hands. And I can see him.
Does it need to be soft or worse?
I mean, he's got form and good to soft ground. But I think, you know, if it got genuinely soft, that'd be an issue for quite a few of these. And it would be in his favour. As I said, you'd be looking at small stakes. Mm. But, you know, you could take out any number of horses here who could run well and finish just out of the money. He's harder to place in the race. He's more likely to finish out the back than he is to finish in the first few. But there is a chance that he could actually, you know, bounce back to something like his best form and look well handicapped. So it's not a confident bet, but potentially a bit of value there at a huge price.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of those drifters as well. I think, yeah, he'll definitely go for a bigger price. So if soft is the first word in the going description, have a pop at Jason the Militant each way. Now, Ruby Walsh, loads of potential horses in here. Where did you land in this 220?
I landed on Son Egino for Paul Nicholls. He hasn't run since he ran the Great Wood. I didn't hear what Rory tipped, but he hasn't run since he ran the Great Wood. Connections like to have a winner at Aintree. I thought his run then was good. Now, soft ground would be an issue for him, but I just thought at 16-1, he was way too big a price, Son Egino, for me. Harry Cobden and Paul Nicholls.
Lovely. Harry Cobden, Paul Nicholls could have a big week at Aintree. Obviously, big chances throughout the week. On to race number 3. This is the 255, by the way, Ruby. For the 6th time this season, Rory tipped off Jason the Militant.
He was a non-runner in 3 of those times. So
race number 3 at Aintree, the 255. Bet a fiver in this race. Get a free fiver on the 330 cracking offer online. Ruby, this is the 2-mile novice. You've got the form of the Supreme and horses who skip Cheltenham. Where'd you land?
I think the best horse was the Supreme Art here. In the pocket ran well, but that's all he ran as well. And he had quite a hard race. I'm going to go with the horse that didn't go, and that's the favourite, Found a 50. I think his race at Naas was a cracking race. I think his run at Naas probably actually cost Colbert Cross in the Albert Bartlett. He was too keen after chasing Found a 50 in Naas. I really like Found a 50. I thought he blew Parmenion out of the way at Ferry House. I thought he put up a hell of a performance against Colbert Cross. I like
Ruby likes Found a 50. Simple as that, because he goes into another tunnel. Lots of tunnels on the way to Crewe. It sounds like, Rory, you're a great man for Michael Portillo on the train journey. Right, Rory, your thoughts?
I'm with Ruby here, and I'm not sure I'll be with him much through the day, but yeah, I like Found a 50 as well. He's, you know, for a horse with limited experience, he started the season in bumpers. I thought he did well to beat Parmenion. Parmenion maybe hasn't turned out to be the horse that the Mullins Yard thought he might be at the start of the season, but he had experience going into that race at Ferry House, and Found a 50 beat him in really good style. He then stepped up on that to be second to Corbis Cross. That's a very good performance. We'll only find out how good that is with Corbis Cross next year, because you know, the English race fans looking forward to seeing him only saw the bad side of Corbis Cross at Cheltenham, but he's been a very, very exciting horse this season, and Found a 50 put it up to him at Naas. He will improve for that. The fact that he's missed Cheltenham was a big plus. I think those who've been to Cheltenham just might struggle a little bit. Lucia, apparently she had a bad prep for the Mare's Novice Hurdle. Didn't hear anything about that beforehand, but I'm a believer that if you have a bad prep and run a big race at Cheltenham, it doesn't necessarily help you bounce straight back from it. I think you're just as likely to regress if you were you know, having to run off a poor preparation. In the pocket, I've never quite taken to him. He does have lots of ability. He might just be the best of these in terms of natural ability, but it doesn't quite stack up yet. And he ran very well in the Supreme, but he didn't threaten to win that. He came through late on to finish fourth. It was a respectable performance, but he did hang a little bit off the bridle up the hill, and I'm not absolutely convinced about his attitude in a fight. So I'm against him for that reason, although he clearly has the best form on offer. I think Found a 50, as Ruby says, will take a step forward. And perhaps Alto Belli, another one who looked very impressive and wasn't earmarked for Cheltenham, might do best for the British there.
Okay. All right. Two votes for Found a 50 in the top novice hurdle. We move on to the 330, another grade one. This is the Marsh Chase. It is also known as the Melling Chase. And Pick Dory and Fakir Duduri dominate the betting. 2-1 Pick Dory, Fakir Duduri 9-4. They're very close in the betting. They weren't that close to each other at Ascot. Hitman is 9-2, 7-1 French Dynamite. They represent Cheltenham form, and Tens Bar. Ruby, your thoughts on what used to be known as the Melling?
I'm going Tens Bar. I think it's a pretty average renewal of the Melling, and I mean that in the best respect to the horses that are in it. Fakir Duduri is bidding for a treble. As we get a train announcement. What did you call that man on the train? The train searcher?
The fat controller. It's the only person I remember for any trains. Thomas and the fat controller is all I remember.
Thomas the tank engine is driving this one. I'm going to go for a horse at a big price each way, and that's Miller's Bank. He won the manifesto here last year. He's got Keelan Woods back on board. It's his second run after a wind operation. He's 16-1, and I think it's an open grade one. He's always bordered on being a grade one horse, and he's won a couple of grade one chases because he's been really well placed. We've got Miller's Bank each way at 16-1.
Miller's Bank each way 10-1. Ruby is the price. I'm not allowing you having that bad Wi-Fi on that train, making mythical prices up. 10-1 at the time of recording anyway. Rory, your thoughts on the Melling?
Yeah, well, listen, I agree with Ruby that this is an ordinary grade one, but it basically means that all those horses who don't have the grade one open race winning form have their chance to step up here. It's not such a big step up as it is for some against the very best. Fakir Duduri, he was a bit disappointing in the Ascot Chase. He didn't come in for a very good ride that day, I didn't think, by JJ Slevin. The fact that he went wide all the way round was not in his favour. He could bounce back from that, but he just doesn't seem to be quite as good this year as last. That's a slight question. There's not a huge amount in it. His jumping hasn't been particularly impressive this season. You know, he's never been a spectacular jumper, but he's always been safe and reliable, and he's looked a bit scrappy this season. He's lucky to have a win on the board, really. He was left clear at the last. when winning. And he does look vulnerable here. But, you know, the market says that, you know, he, in terms of what he's achieved, he should be a shorter price than he is. Pick Dory has gone into favoritism because he's been well placed by Paul Nichols, but he's no superstar. I'm not that keen to back him at 9-4. Hitman's got a similar sort of profile. Paul Nichols will place him. Whatever trip he runs at, he seems to be a little bit tripless, Hitman. He clearly doesn't stay 3 miles, and he's a little bit, I think he's a little bit soft as well for all. He's got plenty of talent. So I want to go for a real trier here, and I think Ruby's hit on an interesting one in Miller's Bank, but I think Fugitive, who's, you know, coming out of handicaps this season, he's always had plenty of ability, but he's always been a little bit fragile as well. And this is the first year he's really been able to string us a solid series of efforts together. His second place finishes in two of the hottest handicaps of the year at Cheltenham look really good on paper. This is a big step up from what he was doing early in the season. I think he started the season off 1-3-1. But his two efforts at Cheltenham in January and March are, you know, not far short of the standard required to win a grade two chase, I would say. And this is essentially what we have. This really is a grade two. He does need to step up again, but he is coming here off three solid performances, and I think he might just be able to finish the season with a flourish. It'd be a good story.
Very good story, wouldn't it? Fugitive for Rory Miller's Bank for Ruby. So a surprise expected in that grade one, that Marsh Chase, also known as the Melling.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
On to the one of the national fences on Friday. It's the Topham Chase, 2 miles, 5 furlongs, and extra places, of course. Ashtown Lad for Dan Harry-Skelton, 7-1, as is Jess Kill for Ollie Greenall and Josh Guerriero. Henry Buck will ride. You've got horses who've run over these fences before, and you've got Willie Mullins with the top four in the handicap, Alton Couleur, Borough Saint. He also has CL de Neige, and the four horse who is Fan de Blues, Daryl Jacob, will ride. Ruby, I'll start with you. Four for Willie in this.
Unlucky at Thurles not to beat Fakir Dudari when he fell at the last. Ran okay at Cheltenham, Mikey O'Sullivan rode him. Borough Saint didn't look like he stayed in a couple of nationals. And I think this is the idea for him. I thought he ran well enough in Down Royal behind Longhouse Poet and Roy Magg, who were both in the Grand National. Then you have CL de Neige. Don't know what CL de Neige's trip is. Maybe these fences or something might spark a bit of life in CL de Neige, but he hasn't fulfilled his promise. And Fan de Blue, well, he is the proverbial horse to make a liar out of stable staff, trainers and jockeys. When he's working like a mail train, he runs like a goat. And when he's running like a goat, he runs like a racehorse. But anyway, look at Fan de Blue. You just can't catch him. Which one am I going to go for? I think Borough Saint is a wonderful jumper, and I think this would really suit him.
Borough Saint to clear that up for Ruby. Just to clear, had Fan de Blues worked like a goat or like a racehorse this week, do we know?
Which I don't know, wasn't
there. Okay, all right.
I wasn't there this week, but he is an enigma, Fan de Blue.
Okay, right.
But such a gent. If you could just talk to him.
All right, we'll send Dr. Doolittle down to Clissutton and hopefully we'll figure out what he's thinking. I'll text my cousin there down the yard and see how he works. Right, so Borough Saint for Ruby. Rory, your thoughts on this wide open top?
Yeah, I suspect that Willie will win this, but I'm not entirely sure how to pick between them. I was with Oton Couleur at Cheltenham last time out when Michael O'Sullivan was claiming £3 off him, so he ended up not having to give lumps of weight away in the plate. He ran well there, but you know, he didn't really have any excuses, finishing fifth of the 23. It was a solid performance, but he's off the same mark here, and he needs to really take the entry to look value off 12 stone. And that's a little off-putting. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Borough Saint came out the best off them, although his form this season, his last couple of runs needs improving upon, but I could see him bouncing back. But I'm going to take a big swing at this on a horse, again, who I struggle to get right, but is capable of running a really good race off a very light weight, and that's Fantastic Ass. He's £3 out of the handicap here, but he's still a pound lower than he was at Cheltenham last time out. He was well beaten in the Ultima in the end, but he did show a bit more dash for a while. He was wearing cheek pieces and a tongue tie for the first time there. He attracted a bit of support, and he went well for a fair way, but he did too much work up front, and ended up fading out of it. On last season's form, he's got a great chance. And I don't really know. He's only an eight-year-old. He shouldn't really have trained off. And the question is whether he will be lit up by the Aintree fences. And plenty of horses in the past from the Nigel Twist and Davis yard have found Aintree playing to them. Now, he's had a chance. He had a go in the Beecher Chase. But I wonder whether the shorter trip is what he wants these days. His jumping's been questionable of late. Again, I'm not sure whether that's much of an issue at Aintree. If he just happened to get yourself into a reasonable rhythm in the first place, you can, of course, get lower at these fences now than you can at park courses. There wasn't an obvious sign, as I said, in December that he would get turned around. But I thought the support for him at Cheltenham suggested that he'd been showing more at home, that he'd been giving them cause for optimism. It's a real shot in the dark, but off bottom weight and for a horse who can get out in front and set a good rhythm, it might just suit him this. It's again, there are extra places. I'm not really interested in those extra places because there is a lot more chance of him saying, no, I don't really fancy this at all and finishing nowhere. But I do think that that if he just gets himself into an early rhythm and he is a front runner, that he might just enjoy himself more than he has of late and show better form. But you'd need to be getting, I mean, again, you're looking about 50-1 and you need that kind of price to back him. But the back form is there to give you some hope that he can do it.
Fantastic ass.
PK, I love front runners on this track. They're three quarters of the way through the race before they know where they are.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree.
So three front runners in the track are the way to go in the Topham. Your dad's got a runner back, yo. He ran second in the race last year off 1.35. He's rated now 1.28 in Ireland and he runs off 1.38 here. He's delighted, Ted.
Poor old Ted, he's just getting it everywhere, isn't he? He has to listen to me, and the handicapper's giving it to him too.
Did he have anything to say about any second now? Right, let's move on to the 4.40, which is the last of grade ones on Friday. It is the 3-mile hurdle. Novice hurdle, it is the Grand Sefton, or not the Grand Sefton, but the Sefton. And Stay Away Faye, who of course won the Albert Bartlett 5-2, so impressive. Absolute notions for Davy Russell and Gordon Elliott is 3-1. 11-2 Oroco for Ollie Greenall and Josh Guerriero. Mark Walsh will ride, as this one's in the JP Silks. Maximilian for Donald McCain, 6-1, 10-1, and bigger the rest. Ruby, back to you. Are you a believer in Stay Away Faye?
Yeah, and he could well do it again. I thought he was unlucky at Doncaster. He got caught in a pot, caught between two horses and had an experience to go and win his race. But I'm going to rob one of Rory's here. I'm going to go for an each-way shout for a horse Rory has tipped on a few occasions. That is Henry Daly's Blenkinsop.
Oh, Blenkinsop. Oh. Hugh Nugent on board. 16-1 at the time recording. Didn't steal your Mars there on Rory, did he?
No, I didn't. I probably didn't, but that was the 16s I got mixed up with Miller's Bank.
You're four races ahead. You're like Ronnie O'Sullivan when he's four shots ahead of the game. You're four races ahead when we were talking about that.
I was always four furlongs ahead as well.
Good man, Ruby. Rory, your thoughts?
I do respect Blenkinsop's chance here. I'm not going to go with him in this race, although I've liked him since day one. He's just been, he took a little while to get his act together, but when he did, he's really come alive. He was very impressive at Newbury when last season. He's missed a race or two since that. And of course, Hugh Nugent can't claim. And he wouldn't be the top rider in this field, but I'd love to see Blenkinsop go well. He's from a very good family that's been Henry Daly's trained them all since he took out a license. Indeed, the late Tim Forster used to train some of these for Hugh Nugent's grandfather, which is the reason why Hugh Nugent always has a ride on the horses in these colours. But I'm going to go. I'm going to go for something safe here. I think an each way bet and Maximilian should pay off. That Doncaster River Dawn form we've mentioned already. That's a solid form where Maximilian actually won, beating Stay Away Faye, who came in for a suboptimal ride on the day and was unlucky to be beaten a length into second. Hurricane Bay finished third. I quite liked Hurricane Bay's chances in a handicap later on. He's in this race as well, but I thought he might have had more of a chance. Running a handicap company. And Maximilian didn't go to Cheltenham. He's been kept fresh for this. Donald McKinnon is one of those trainers who really supports the entry and looks to lay his better horses out for this meeting. So although Stay Away Faye probably, in terms of what he's achieved, his Cheltenham form is better than he showed when second to Maximilian at Doncaster. The question is whether Stay Away Faye is able to back up. And we don't see multiple Albert Bartlett winners coming on to win this. So I think Maximilian's freshness should pay dividends here.
Blenken top each way for Ruby, Maximilian each way for Rory in that big grade one novice over the 3 mile trip. One more race is the quarter past five. It's the Abersock Land and Sea Handicap Hurdle. This one for conditional jockeys and amateur riders. We're no prices here, Paddy Power, when we record, but look, it's going to be probably 8-1 the field or something like that. Go Dante, Paramount, Guayquil, Nibiru for Tony Martin. They'll all be towards the top, I'm guessing. Ruby, what are your thoughts?
I'm hoping Shane O'Callaghan can claim off Guayquil for Michael Ryan and my father and send him into Grand National in good form. She's a bit higher in the UK than she is in Ireland, but she'll appreciate the rain that's fallen. She'll love the trip. She's a decent mare on the improve. It's unlikely she'll win, but she'll run a big race. I'm hoping she'll be a good price pick.
Well, those Michael Ryan silks that you'll see on Guayquil, they bring back memories of Al Ella. Has a horse ever liked Aintree more than that horse? What a cracking horse. How did they not have did they have a race named after him, Rory, yet? Al Ella?
They should do, shouldn't they?
No, not at Aintree. They should at Aintree. Really was it three Aintree, three Aintree hurdles?
Yeah. Timmy Murphy, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant horse. That's Guayquil right at the bottom of the weights for Shane O'Callaghan, Ted and Ruby, as it turns out. Your thoughts, Rory?
I haven't a clue, to be perfectly honest. I went round and round in circles.
What number is he? I can't see him.
I really struggled to get a handle on it. I thought that En Public off top weight would run a bit better than his price, but I suspect we're looking at, you know, finishing slightly better than midfield, but probably not good enough to get you a return on your money. He's off the same mark as when he was second to Jungle Jack last time. Jungle Jack's got chances earlier on the card. If he runs well, then it will be a pointer towards En Public's chances. Toby Wins is regular jockey. He was a winner off 6 pounds lower at Huntingdon earlier in the season, but his current mark of 138 looks to be about as high as he can go. So I thought he might sneak into an extra place. I can't see him winning the race, but he's 25-1 or thereabouts. If he ended up being a little bit bigger than that, and you know there are plenty of places on offer, I'd have a small bet on him. But again, really, really tough race for me to find any angle into, and I wouldn't be getting heavily involved.
That's fine. No worries. So very much token on home public. There will be an extra place in this race, as you said. And Ruby, great cool. Right, that is day two sorted. We just need the naps on day two, please. Ruby Walsh, best bet on day two.
Best bet on day two is Sonigino each way in the second race. If I could have Rory's tip in that, I did miss that PK with my service.
Okay.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him.
Okay. Okay. He's tipped this horse up. I'll give you a clue. Maybe three. He tipped it up in the champion hurdle. There's a clue. And he's running in this.
Ruby's already blocked that out because it was so ridiculous. But that was just for extra places. Anyway, yeah, I've gone for Jason the Militant in there. If it comes up very soft, if it doesn't, then that'll be.
I'm assuming that's not your nap, though.
It won't be.
I'm even keener on Sonigino now. He's tipping that.
Go on,
I think I'd nap Maximilian. I think
each way nap. Both on each way naps. That's fine. That's fine. That's lovely. That's day two covered.
I think Rory, to be fair to us,
yeah,
I don't think it's a great Friday card at Aintree, and I think it's the each way value you have to look for all day.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the way I've looked at the card. I think it's there are very few standouts, and there are some very, very trappy races. And the nature of the track and these handicaps means you need plenty of luck on your side as well. So what you need to have is lower your stakes a little bit, hunt for bigger prices, and hope you get lucky, rather than playing big on races that you don't like the look of. I think you need to be careful on a day like Friday.
Okay, perfect. All right. Lovely stuff, lads. Look, enjoy day two. Ruby's obviously en route to Liverpool. We'll see you on ITV over the course of the week. Rory, we will be back tomorrow to discuss the big day itself, as we will with yourself, Ruby. As I said, loads of stuff on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, including the final episode of Shark Power, worth a watch. And don't forget that free bet offer as well on the Paddy Power online. Do pop into a shop. We've loads of offers, extra places and money back races as well for you right throughout the week. Until tomorrow, we'll be back, and we'll be back with the final edition of Fridays with Fran, Dundalk's last meeting. They've snuck it in on the Aintree Friday. So we'll be back for that as well. Looking forward to catching up with Fran ahead of the last one at Dundalk. But until then, stay well, stay safe, and stay lucky.